So Dad was, you know, he was the desert cop, the territory cop. But Dad had also grown up working on the Bard Ranch, which was right there close over where Surprise is now. And he had rode fence lines. He knew the desert like the back of his hands, because that was an open range ranch. It was a huge ranch, mm-hmm. tens of thousands of acres, cattle. And he knew the native Indians that lived in the area. He knew everybody. He knew the desert, and came back, got a job as a cop. Well, he also liked to deer hunt. And so one day, he went up in the mountains deer hunting, and then he came back with this fantastic story and these pictures. George, he had gone up deer hunting in some part of a mountain he had never been in before, come around a corner, and all of a sudden here are these huge spherical holes, perfectly round. Now these things were a real mystery. And by the way, I still have photographs of these. I could send you a copy if you want to see one.
Oh, absolutely. Send some to Lex, to our webmaster.
All right. These holes were something like maybe 20 feet across and probably 8 or 10 feet deep. Now, they weren't made with dynamite or anything like that, which would have fractured the rock, because they were full to the brim with water. And deer would come down and try to drink out of these things. And they, I forget how many there were. There were 7 or 8 of them there. And they were all lined up, perfectly round, and it looked as if something with enormous heat, or something like that, had cut these perfectly round holes deep into the ground. It filled up full of water. The deer had fallen into them. The deer actually are drowned. There was one of the deer still alive that was moving around while my dad was there.
Well, how deep was this?
What's that?
How deep was this?
Well, I'm saying that maybe 8 or 10 feet deep. I'm trying to remember from memory what my dad had told me, but these were large mule deer, and they were just swimming around in circles until they would drown. I mean, these
right.
were fairly deep.
Once they got in, they couldn't get out.
They couldn't get out. They also couldn't stand on their hinds and hold their head up. So these were fairly deep holes. And Dad came back, and he went to the police department. He called the Army Corps of Engineers. He got a representative of the Army Corps of Engineers, took him out to the holes. The Corps of Engineers went up there and looked at them. They couldn't figure out what they were. The Indians didn't know what they were. They actually had almost appeared overnight, because the natives that lived in the area weren't even familiar with them. The Phoenix Gazette went out and took a picture of my dad kneeling down with his hunting rifle, and they had a headline called Mysterious Mountain Holes, and I think my mom still has a copy of that article, and with my dad next to it. And so then finally, you know, all of the article was written, all of that, and the Corps of Engineers went out there, and they dynamited these holes full of rock to keep the wildlife from falling in them and dying. And that seemed to be the end of the story. But then, on November 5th, 1975, along the northeastern ridge of that Arizona mountain range, a guy by the name of Travis Walton stepped out of his pickup to look at what he called a glowing object. And according to his report, while a crew of the loggers that were with him waited nearby, Travis approached this UFO and was suddenly jolted by a blast of inexplicable energy. His companions, you know, jumped in their rig and took off and left him there. And according to him, he was taken on board an alien spacecraft and subjected to a variety of physical examinations. His story, in fact, Fire in the Sky, was made into a movie.
That's
and
right.
Reported to be one of the best documented accounts of UFO abduction ever recorded. Now, I don't know if Travis ever met my dad or my dad ever met him. I don't know if they ever talked. I've never had a chance to talk to Travis, but I've talked to Stanton Friedman, and I think Friedman believes that his story is true and believes that he's reputable. So I don't know. But the interesting thing was, it happened in the same location. Here's what I do know about this, however. And that is that I learned this, by the way, George, after I became an adult, and I was trying to deal with some of the phenomenon that I had grown up with,
right.
and talking with my mother one day, and she finally shared something with me that I didn't know until I was an adult, and that was that right after my dad had made that discovery, my aunt, who lived just down the street, just a little ways from us there in El Mirage, had come up to the house one day. My mother said she was white as a sheet and petrified, and claiming that she had seen this very large disc-shaped object hovering above our home. And so I don't know. But not long after that, what I do know is that my older sister, we were all asleep one night, maybe 2 o'clock in the morning or something. Suddenly, every one of us come out of our bed. My sister at that time was 13 years of age, and she was screaming in a way that you never want to hear a 13-year-old girl scream. And we jumped up, ran to her bedroom, me, my brother, my dad, my mom, and here's my sister sitting up in bed. I'll never forget the way she looked. Her eyes were like silver dollars. She actually looked to me like she was coming out of a trance or something, and shaking in the bed. And mom ran over to her. And by the way, something that everybody needs to understand is that I grew up in a very conservative Pentecostal Christian home. Man, this didn't fit our worldview at all.
I mean, exactly.
It was a very controlled environment. I mean, we weren't allowed to watch television programs, you know, and especially nothing that might have anything to do with the paranormal. And plus, this was 40 some years ago, so there wasn't really any widespread, you know, information at that time that had been disseminated about, you know, alien abduction or whatever. But what I found out from my mom, and by the way, Dad made me and my brother go to bed, and we laid there all night with our eyes wide open, scared, scared out of our pants, you know, trying to sleep. And but when Mom finally told me what had been going on here, maybe, you know, 15, 20 years later, she told me that my sister had woke up. And what had scared her was that there were these small, bulbous-headed gray men that were standing around her bed in a semicircle. Now, after Mom told me about that, I went to my sister and asked her if she would talk to me about it, and she would not. Some years later, she began sharing with me that not only had those experiences happened then, but they had continued to happen throughout her entire life. And there again, you know, people need to understand that this was not something we went looking for. It was not something we believed in. It was not, frankly, it wasn't something we even understood. And we went to our pastor. It was not something he could answer. I mean, he interpreted it either as she was having a bad dream, she was insane, it was demonological, but nothing that really fit in with what the experience seemed to be. I actually went on from then to become a pastor. I was a pastor for over 25 years. My brother still is a pastor, so I mean, we maintained our worldview. But I had these questions, George, in my mind. They were just there for years, you know, trying to understand what was that and why did that continue to happen. And especially as my sister began opening those old wounds and talking to me, and then certain things about her started making sense. She, from the time she was a teenager, she wouldn't sleep in a bed. She had to sleep sitting up in a chair. And I never really understood that. And then one day she shared with me it was because she was afraid that they would come and take her feet first out of her bed. And so she had to sleep in a room where other people were and sitting up and things like that that I didn't really understand until some years later. And finally I began to kind of put two and two together. And I also began noticing that people from around the world were telling this same story.
Same story.